A.A. Allen went to a meeting down in Alabama and said there was a woman that came down, and R.W. Shambach was there. He was 20 years old. He was the song leader back in those days. And he said this woman came down and told him, said, well, I brought my son down here because my son was born with 26 incurable diseases. And he said, what's wrong with him? And she said, he has no ears and he has no eyes. And there was 26 things wrong with this boy. Doctors couldn't touch it. She said, I hoped that God would hear my prayer, but I've been here every service all week long. And said, God has not done anything for me. I'm from another state, and I have $20 left in my name, and I'm down here with another woman, and we're going to have to drive home tomorrow afternoon after the last service, and my car is out of gas. So she said, I was hoping God would hear my prayer. Well, that night, A.A. started preaching. Said he preached for a few minutes, and then he stopped and said, you know, the Lord just moved in my heart. I want to take up an offering. Said, I normally don't do it like this, but we're going to take up the offering first. He said, you guys get the buckets out and pass them. He said, I want y'all, now I don't want y'all to give God just a gift. I want you to give him a sacrifice. We want to see God do some wonderful things tonight, he said. So give him a sacrifice. And so he said, they started passing the buckets. Shambach said, I was up on the platform where I could see him. When they come to that row back down where that woman was with that little handicapped child, I saw her take her purse and open it and take that $20 bill out and put it in that bucket. Is that a sacrifice?
Amen.
This woman, she's got a car out of gas. She's got to drive to another state, and that's all the money she's got left in the world. She's got to eat tonight and tomorrow, and she's got $20, and she give it all to God. That means she ain't going to have nothing to eat, nothing to buy gas with or nothing, and her car is empty. And I got news for you. You can't drive an empty car from state to state without gas. As a normal condition, I'll have to say that. With God, nothing's impossible. But she put that $20 in that plate. Then A.A. went back to preaching. He preached about 30 minutes, and all of a sudden he stopped and he says, the Lord's showing me a vision. There's a building over there, a white building. It looks like a... It is. It's a hospital. It's a maternity ward. There's babies being born in that. There's a little boy just been born. He gave it to a woman. They got 4, 6, 10... 14, 20, 26 incurable diseases. Now he's seeing this all in the spirit. You tell that story to Baptist church and they say, this guy's lost his mind. You tell it in almost any kind of church, they think you've lost your mind. But what can our God do? Don't limit him. A.A. Allen didn't limit him. He said, that woman lives in another state. She's getting in a car with another woman and they're driving. They said, woman, you're in this meeting tonight. Where are you? And she stood up back there. He said, bring that baby down here. She gets up, that little baby in her arms. No ears, no eyes, can't talk, tongue's hanging out its mouth. It's an awful looking little guy. He reaches out and takes that little child up on the platform. He said, now I want everybody in here to bow your head and I'm going to pray. That's one time when R.W. Shambach, he says, after I heard her story and I seen what A.A. did, I don't know what God's fixing to do, but he said, if this is one time, I'm going to be scriptural. I'm going to watch and pray. I'm not bowing my head. So he said, I'm watching that baby. When A.A.'s holding it up to the Lord and saying, Lord, do a miracle on this little child. And he said, all of a sudden, the first thing I saw was that little guy's tongue, like a window shade, went back in his mouth. And then he said, I saw two beautiful eyes just fell out right on his head. And then I saw two ears just... Some people say, I don't believe that. That's what doctors told me when I told them I could raise Caitlin from the dead with John 15:7. They said, you're lying. That didn't happen. Well, let me tell you, it did happen. She's alive today to prove it. You know, if you don't believe it, you can go ask Dr. Mark. He'll tell you. He didn't believe it either, but he saw it too. So anyway, R.W. said, the next thing I saw was this little boy, which couldn't move, couldn't talk, couldn't hear, couldn't do nothing, couldn't see, jumps out of A.A.'s arms onto the platform, and there his mother stands right there, and he runs to the edge of the platform and jumps out in her arms and says, Mama! How many of you believe that's a pretty awesome miracle?
Amen.
He said, but the Holy Spirit wasn't through. Said there was 12 stretcher cases over here with cancer laying out on the floor. When's the last time you've been to church when there was 12 cancer patients laying on a mat on the floor? I ain't never seen that in my life either. I've had one or two, but never a dozen. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit hit that dozen people, and all of them jumped off their mats and jumped up and began to scream, I'm completely healed, I have no pain. Then he said there was 13 wheelchairs over here on this side, and all of a sudden, all 13 of them jumped out of their wheelchairs and started dancing before the Lord. I've had people I've told this story to say, I don't believe that. You've lost your mind. Well, I got news for you. My God is able to do that. And then he says all of a sudden there were 6 people come to the aisles with their red tip canes coming down screaming, we can see we was totally blind. And he said, in the next hour, in that place down there in that church of 4,000 people were screaming and hollering and saying, I can hear, I can see, my cancers just fell out from under my dress on the floor. I'm totally healed. He said, as far as I know, everybody in that service that night of 4,000 people went home completely healed in the name of Jesus. And why did it happen? Because the Holy Spirit was impressed with one woman. She gave God a sacrifice of 20 lousy dollars. Just like when Jesus told the little woman, she's given more than the rest of you because she gave all she had. He was impressed with her, wasn't he, Tom? He was impressed. He was impressed with that little woman. And then it still ain't over. An hour later, when people are through screaming and hollering and everybody's healed, this woman standing down the front with her little child, which is totally healed, can see, hear, talk, run, play, everything. People start walking up to her and laying money in her hands, one after another, one after another. When it's over, if I remember the story right, she counted the money. She had $285 in cash money, and she had a healed son. Can you outgive God?
No.
Oh. I mean, he made us these promises. Look at the rest of the scripture. After the disciples asked Jesus privately, why couldn't we cast out that demon? Verse 20 and 21, what does it say? Why could we not heal him? What would Jesus answer? You didn't have enough faith. So when we can't get something done, what's wrong with us? We don't have enough faith. You didn't have enough faith, Jesus told them. I've had pastors tell me, now Thurman, don't tell these people if they don't get healed. It's because they don't have enough faith. You know, you make them feel bad. I said, but I'm just repeating what Jesus said. If Jesus said it, I need some faith. If I don't have any, what do I need to do? I need to get some. You didn't have enough faith. Jesus told him, I assure you, even if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move here to there, and it would move, and only a few things would be impossible with you.
Nothing.
What?
Nothing should be impossible.
That couldn't be true. So what limits us? Right here is the problem. My lack of faith is what limits me. When I pray in the name of Jesus, he expects me to pray in faith, nothing wavering. The other day I met a really nice young man. He's an Assembly of God preacher. And we were having a nice conversation. And he asked me the question, how long have you been in the ministry? I said, well, about 12 years, I guess, full time. Wow, he said, at such a late age, how did you manage to get in? It's that late in life. I said, well, first of all, God killed my wife and my daughter. That blew him away. God didn't kill your wife and your daughter. I said, oh yeah, he did. I said, God kills everybody that dies. You know, I said, he's the one. He's the author of life and he's the author of death. I said, he kills everybody. He even says that in his word. I'm the one that kills, you know, I give life. If God says I kill, he kills, right? So anyway, I said, he had a plan for me, put me in the ministry full time. And I said, I've prayed for a lot of people. And I said, I have learned that you have to pray in faith. He said, you know, strange that you should say that. He said, my mother-in-law. They called us and said, you need to come down to the hospital, mother-in-law. Her heart is failing. We go down there and said, all week long, we pray and beg and plead with God to heal mama-in-law. And said, she gets worse every day. He said, finally by Friday, I'm in the Word, I'm reading where it says, when you ask me for something, in fact, let's just go there and look at that. James 1, 6 and 7. But when you ask, be sure that you really expect him to answer. For a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. People like that should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. He said, I happen to read that verse. When I pray, I must pray in what?
Faith.
Nothing wavering. How much wavering? Surely Jesus wouldn't be that hard on us. So he said, I read that scripture. He said, I looked at that and I said, okay, God, now I know why that mother hadn't been getting any better. We've been pleading and begging you. We're not in faith. He said, I told everybody, let's repent of our sin. I'm going to pray for mama-in-law. I'm going to guarantee you Jesus is going to heal her. Ooh, my goodness gracious. You talk about a wild man now. People say you're crazy. You know, you don't know what God's going to do. If you do it his way, you can tell what he's going to do. So he prayed for his mother-in-law. He said, now I'm going home, get a good night's sleep. You know, said, I ain't going to stay up here no more all night long. Said, she's going to be okay. You hear any faith in that? Yeah, I hear faith all over the place. So he goes home. He said, next morning, 7 o'clock, they called me. I said, you got to get up here. He said, oh, my God, she's died. Is that the way we are? Now, I mean, why do we always think, why when they called and said, Troy, you got to get up here right quick, he didn't jump up and say, praise God, she's healed. Why do we always think negative? If God wasn't a forgiving God, you know, his mother-in-law would have died right there, because they said, no, quite the contrary. You said last night you're going to pray in faith and she's going to get well. Said the doctor just examined her this morning and says there's not anything wrong with her. She's got an 18-year-old heart and he's fixing to release her and let her go home. Why is it that we're programmed ourselves on the negative side? Why don't we learn to think, when they said, man, you ain't going to believe this, you're going to say, praise God, I know it's out of this world. It's good, isn't it? Yeah. We need to reprogram ourselves. We need to learn to think like God. Is it a wonder that we get anything from him? Is it a wonder he told the disciples up there a while ago, how long am I going to have to put up with you boys? You know, isn't that amazing? Aren't we glad he put up with us? Aren't we glad, huh? Praise God. I mean, God is so good. That young man, that pastor, he said, when I got down there, they had such a good report that said my mother-in-law, they don't know what happened, but for a week she'd been in there getting worse every day. And all of a sudden, overnight, from Friday night, what did he do on Friday night? He prayed in faith. He really prayed in faith. And who showed up? The king. And his mother-in-law got an 18-year-old heart. Do we as Christians need to learn how to pray in faith every time? Every time. Let me give you a little bit of really good news now. You know what the fastest growing religion in the world is right now? Christianity. Christianity is growing so rapidly, and it's not in the mainstream churches. It's in little churches like this one and house churches. And you know how many people are getting saved around the world in those little house churches every day? 175,000 new Christians come into the world every day. 175,000 are coming in every day. You know, when we think that Islam's growing, hey, we need to stop listening to that nonsense. We need to become a part of that house church stuff. They said, and what's bringing it together? The men that God's put in there, they're praying for people and seeing miracles happen. And the people are going out telling their neighbors, wow, what happened? And so they come back, and so these little house churches are growing. They get full, and then two or three of them will take and go to their house, and they'll start another one right now all over the world. Isn't that something?
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Lord, Open My Spiritual Eyes, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teachings on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.